back on the record, it's 12:16, all members of the board that were here prior to that much-needed break are back. And the next case is case number 722-056.
Well, I get to follow that.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sergeant, can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name and indicating the authority you're representing here today?
Sergeant Elias Martz, the Middletown Police Department. Last name's M-A-R-T-Z.
Okay, Sergeant, you may make a brief opening statement.
Just confirm this is 22-056.
It is.
In this case, the background investigation revealed the appellant did not submit any. Oh, hold on. In this case, the appellant was denied on the grounds of suitability, based on what was revealed in the background investigation. It appeared that the appellant was suffering from some mental health issues, which were revealed at that time.
Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Sure. I'm just here to prove that indeed there's no indication of any mental health issues. The previous year, I went through a divorce and such, I'm looking to prove that, I handled that as a human being would. There's no mental health issues, and that a responsible person should be awarded the permit. I think that's short, right?
That is, in fact, a brief opening statement.
There you go. That's what I try to do.
All right, Sergeant, you may proceed with your case.
Thank you. Background investigation revealed that the appellant did not submit any personal letters of reference along with his application. Investigation further revealed that two individuals, the appellant's employer and the appellant's wife with whom he was in divorce proceedings at the time, expressed serious concerns about the appellant obtaining a pistol permit. The appellant's boss stated to police that the appellant missed approximately 2 days of work per week due to emotional reasons and described the appellant as, quote, off the rails. The appellant's boss further stated that, quote, if he gets a permit, this is something we'll be reading about in the paper. The appellant's wife stated to police that the appellant had a history of depression and temperament issues and that she would be extremely worried if he got a pistol permit. She further indicated that in 2020, while she was out of the country on vacation, the appellant contacted her crying and threatened to kill himself. This was not reported to police as she was not in the country at the time. When the appellant was interviewed about his work attendance and mental health, he cited issues due to COVID-19, a disagreement with another boss, and his ongoing divorce. He stated that it was tough, but he was managing it and would not add further comments to specifically address temperament or mental health. This appeared to be a vague answer to serious concerns. Lastly, a check of the judicial website conducted on January 26th of 2023 revealed that the divorce proceedings appeared to still be ongoing as of January 4th, 2023. Based on the above listed issues, the appellant was not deemed a suitable candidate for a pistol permit.
Sir, do you have any questions for the sergeant?
Sure. So, good morning, or afternoon now.
Good afternoon, sir.
So, just real quick, was there any criminal record found at all?
No.
Okay, cool. Any motor vehicle reports?
I'm not aware of that. I could look. But they, give me a moment.
Okay.
Nothing was found in motor vehicle.
Okay, great. Was there any indication of any kind of abuse, whether verbal or physical? Whether it be spousal or anybody else?
No.
Cool. Well, I guess I'll forego this. So no abuse, I'm going to say no violence. Is that reasonable?
There was no record of convictions for any sort of violence or arrest for any violence that we noted, no.
Okay. And aside from my ex-wife's report, is there any official report or any indication from a mental health expert that there are any mental illnesses or worries?
No, we did not receive any information from any mental health experts.
Okay. And do you happen to recall what my ex-wife's exact words were when she talked about me possibly harming myself?
I did not speak directly with her, so I would not be able to recall that. I could look in the investigating officer's report. Would you like me to read from the report?
Yeah, if you'd like to, it's up to you. Did she mention exactly like my exact words when we talked about that?
You're asking what the exact words of your...
I'm asking, like, you know, what
ex-wife were at the time?
Yeah, so, like, basically, you know, what had I said to her that made her believe that I might harm myself?
So, an officer contacted her. On or about May 5th of 2021... She informed the officer that she did not speak English well and initially requested a Spanish-speaking officer. A Spanish-speaking officer then did speak with her and documented that her statement was that the appellant visited a therapist on a regular basis, had depression and temperament issues, but that he had never been violent. She expressed that she would be extremely worried if he got a pistol permit due to his temper and depression, and added that approximately 1 year ago, this being 2021, would make it about 2020. She was on vacation in another country when the appellant contacted her crying and threatening to kill himself. The appellant appeared to be under the influence at the time of the phone call. She stated she did not call the police due to being out of the country. That is what was documented by one of the investigating officers.
Okay, so I think that's my questions for you. Thank you so much.
Board have any questions of the sergeant? Ms. Johnson?
Your denial of this gentleman has to do with that there was no reference, letters of reference?
That was one part. So the denial was based on suitability,
mm-hmm.
Based upon interviews with the appellant's boss and the appellant's wife. We thought that it added to this that there were no letters of personal reference. Most people submit 3 personal reference letters.
But are they required by statute?
Does Middletown ask for that?
I believe it's requested, yes. I don't know if it's required by statute. It just seemed germane to this particular case, given that it was suitability with interviews with people who were acquainted with the appellant.
Mm-hmm.
That he did not choose to submit them.
Okay.
Other questions? Do we know who the boss is that said?
I believe that is detailed in the report. Yes. There are three incident reports that were provided. One of them references Principal Straub.
Got it. Yes, I have found it.
From the Meriden Board of Education.
Did you ask the principal to come today?
I did not.
And did you ask the wife to come today, or the ex-wife, I think that's ex-wife?
I did not. I simply relied on their documented statements.
Other questions? Sergeant, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Okay. So you may tell us what you'd like us to know.
Okay. So, let's see, where do we get? I am separated. I am divorced. There's certainly no reason to harm anybody. Like, I mean, there's, and that's actually my position, freedom all around. That's actually what I'm fighting for. I started a campaign, actually, to kind of change our child support and divorce laws because of this progress, a process, sorry. And so my thing, can you hear me okay?
Speak up a little bit and slow down a little bit.
Okay, sorry. And so my thing is this, right? As long as, you know, as long as you're not hurting anybody, then you have your freedom. And that was my message to her. And so to go back to why she thought I might hurt myself, I'll tell you exactly like what that conversation looked like. We were talking and she said, you know, we're talking, I said, you know, let's go to a therapist. And that's why we were going to a therapist. It had nothing to do with mental health. It was, we were seeing a therapist together for our issues. She was a marriage counselor. And so at the end I said, hey, you've already made up your mind. So if that's what you're gonna do, well, okay. You know, it's gonna hurt me, it's gonna hurt the kids. But again, you're a human being, you get to do what you need to do. But I just said, you know, please let me continue my, you know, my life's work, providing the best life for my two children. I have two wonderful children. And she said, well, no, I'm gonna do what I feel like, et cetera. And so my comment to her then was, what do I have to do, die before you leave me alone? And then she's all like, oh, well, you're gonna kill yourself, whatever. I was like, that is way over the top, and that was the conversation. And you know what? I should have started with that, too, just to let you know. I was teaching for 17 years, and to reference, you know, what was going on at the time. So public education is in quite a flux right now. I love my students to death. That's one thing that, and you know, that I've always thought, that's why I got into education. And so I try to bring them up well, because I taught in the same area I grew up in, and I wanted to help these kids avoid some of the same mistakes that I made. And so basically education, right now, they're looking for numbers to get funding from the state, from the federal government, and so they're just passing people. I don't agree with that. That philosophically just goes against everything I believe of helping the kids. Like, for me, it's the kids. And so, you know, that was a factor, and that's why my administration and I kind of like butted heads once in a while. And so that's where it goes as far as that comment goes, as far as why she thought that why she thought I was missing days. But as far as missing days goes, you know, it was COVID, quarantining. My two children had to quarantine. I don't know how many times I had a quarantine, and quite frankly, because of the frustration of both going through the divorce and them not taking care of kids first, just all of it, I was just like, you know what, maybe not today, or I had to take care of my kids, whatever it was. And my ex-wife and I decided that it would be best for me to stay home because I had days, you know, I had sick days pretty much, that I would still get paid. She wouldn't, and so she said I had to do it. I was like, okay. And so that ended up costing me quite a few days that year. It was not twice a week. It was a total of 45 days, which is about a quarter of the school year. It was a lot, but nothing that I could control because my kids weren't allowed to go to school and we did not have anybody to take care of them. And a lot of stuff. And I would also just, I don't know if it's really relevant or not, but I also would like to say that I didn't hear any, I should have asked this, I don't know if I go back and ask, but there was no concrete evidence as far as my principal goes, because quite frankly, she couldn't have given any anyway, because she was also going through something herself. Her husband, unfortunately, was diagnosed with cancer, gave him a certain amount of time to live. He just passed in September, unfortunately. And so, honestly, she was out quite a bit, and certainly was in no position to even know what was going on, so I feel bad for her. At the same time, I'm surprised that she would make a comment like that, not really, you know, knowing what's going on. Yeah, so I guess the only other thing I need you to know is just, you know, yeah, I'm very responsible. I'm a responsible gun owner. I do have a firearm. I keep it locked in a safe, in its own safe, not here in Connecticut. Now, you know, obviously I don't have my permit yet. But I keep it locked in a safe. I like to go target shooting, and eventually I like to, you know, teach my children. There's a family that, the reason why I got into this was because there's a family whose four children I taught. The dad's a military retiree, and he brought me one time, had a great time, and it was at the beginning of my marriage, and I thought to get my permit at that point, and my ex-wife said, no, I don't want that in the house, so I never did. So then once we were done, I was like, oh, well, something I can do then.
Sir, do you live in Middletown?
Yes.
Sergeant, do you have any questions for the appellant?
So, just to clarify, you have no idea why Principal Straub would say that you were, quote, off the rails?
Well, the idea is because I missed so many days. She brought me down a few times, you know, saying, hey, you're missing days. Stop. You know, quite honestly, I couldn't stop because I had to take care of my children. The policy was, to be completely transparent, policy was is you can't use sick days to take care of your children because they're quarantined. But what else could I have done? And so I had to do that. But that's the only thing.
Did you say you can't use sick days to take care of your kids?
That's against policy.
Seems like a great policy.
Seems like the opposite of policy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I had two kids to take care of, and again, I had the opportunity to still make my income, and my wife didn't. It was the logical choice at the time.
So your statement is that someone describing you as off the rails is due to your use of sick time to take care of your children during COVID?
I can not explain anything else.
Okay. And the statement of, if he gets a permit, this is something we'll be reading about in the paper. Do you know why the principal would have made that statement?
Honestly, no. I was very surprised because so I was told about the off the rail statement when I received a telephone call, but the other one I wasn't. That's pure speculation. I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea. I was a little disheartened because because there were some times where I thought she's a good judge of character, and then there are other times where I was like, wow, you know, you don't know me at all, which because, you know, there were other instances where, you know, she brought me down and said, you know, the Latin teacher said that you said this, this, and this. And I was like, do you not know me? I would never say that. I'm much more open-minded. And so, I mean, it was a judgment call. It's speculation.
Okay. Have you ever seen a therapist for depression or temperament issues?
Never. Oh, sorry. No, my apologies. I did. I shouldn't say that. I should say never. That would be a lie. Sorry. When I was between about second grade and fourth grade, my pastor, I used to see him. He used to be my psychologist. He was a great man.
Okay, so the therapist that your statement is that the therapist that you were seeing on a regular basis was a marriage counselor.
Correct.
During the time of your divorce.
Correct.
And did you discuss depression and temperament issues with that marriage counselor?
Not depression or temperament. No. Well, you just well, I don't know if I use the word depression or not because I don't know exactly what that entails. Was I sad at the time that we're going through that? Oh yeah, definitely. That was a hard time to go through. I didn't want my ex-wife to leave. I thought we could work it out. And also, I have two kids to take care of, and I wanted to bring them up in a full family. You know, I wanted to buy a house in an area where they can grow up well. I have a great aunt and a great uncle who did a fantastic job. I kind of wanted to mirror their lives. But things happen, things change, and so I got to still take care of my two little ones under the circumstances I'm dealt. Like I said, I don't want to control anybody else. So if she had to leave, that's what she had to do. You can ask my students, they're like, they don't want to do their homework. They don't have to. They just don't get the grade.
Okay. So your statement is that you were sad during that time due to the divorce. And those issues came up with the marriage counselor. You believe that is why, would you then say it's true that that is why your ex-wife would say that she would be, quote, extremely worried if you got a pistol permit due to your temperament and depression issues?
I don't know why she would say she would be extremely worried, to tell you the truth. That I can't answer.
Okay. When was your divorce finalized?
Oh, she moved out in October of 2019, but I don't think it was finalized until, well, I think it was supposed to be March, because March 4th, my birthday. I don't remember if it was 2020 or 2021, to tell you the truth, but it was a long time after because COVID just dragged it out forever.
May 7th, 2021.
Yes, so it was supposed to be my birthday in March, but my ex-wife had gotten something wrong, and so they had a hard time putting it to the court. It took a couple months for them to get the paperwork set.
Okay, and when I conducted a check online, it said that there were still judgments being made up until January 4th of 2023, mm-hmm. where there was a final order.
It's child support, you know. So my circumstances have changed, and so I filed a motion to modify.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, I mean, part of this is, you know, life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. I'm at a campaign that's, I'm part of, not part, but I attend the commission for Connecticut child support. I want to make a change, that's who I am, same with my kids.
Are you still employed with Meriden Public Schools?
I'm not.
And when did that, when was that separation?
Last April. So it's been almost a year now.
And was that voluntary?
Well, yes. So I was the one who put in the letter of resignation to pursue this campaign to change the child support laws. And then I got a job somewhere else. Continue paying, so they're taking it out of my checkbook right now. But that's why I asked for the motion to modify, because nor am I making the same amount.
And between the time of your application and now, have you sought any counseling or therapy of any sort?
No.
That's all the questions I have.
Does the board have any questions?
I do. What is your current involvement with your children?
Ooh, all the time. I love my children. So I have them, we have a set schedule. So I have them from Wednesday afternoons until Saturdays. Sometimes 3 o'clock on Saturday, sometimes till late at night on Saturday. And then she has them the other days of the week, and we just kind of split off like that.
Wednesday afternoon, all day Thursday,
Wednesday after school,
all day Friday, and essentially Saturday morning until
either 3 or late at night, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Does your wife have any concerns about your having that amount of time with your children? Does she worry about your mental health or your temperament or the fact that you're depressed?
Boy, if she did, I certainly would have contacted somebody to let them know and certainly not have given me, you know, the custody that I have. I would have fought harder. So I would say no. I mean, no. Matter of fact, she just texted me, you know, yesterday, if you need anything, let me know. If you need anything for the children, let me know. I'm like, okay, yeah.
And where is she now?
At this very moment? She's
your,
working.
Your former wife?
She's working.
Where does she live?
She's in Middletown.
Okay. So she was just temporarily out of the country at that time in 2020?
She had taken, let's see, it was 2020, so she left in 2019. That was the last time before. No. It was 2019 we went out. She didn't go out in 2020 because of COVID. It was 2019 she had taken the trip.
Okay.
So that might be what she was referencing.
And where were the children when she took the trip?
So what happened was, you know, because we were splitting and I didn't feel comfortable her taking the kids out of the country by herself. So the deal is this. We've always taken trips to Peru every summer to go visit the family. We spend anywhere between 6 and 7 weeks there. But that year, because I kind of got tired of being in winter during my summer vacation, you know, I said, you know, I'm going to hold back and I'm going to take a trip to see my friend in Italy for a couple of weeks, and then I'll come back and, you know, hang out in the warmth. And so she's like, well, I'm going to take the kids to Peru. And well, once she decided that, hey, I'm gonna leave, I was like, oh, well, I don't really want you to go to Peru with the kids by yourself now. And she's like, well, I'm going. So I was like, all right, then you know, I'm gonna go with you. And then, you know, I'll take them back with me. And then that way they can see their family. And then they can come back with me. And I still know that, you know, they're still safe and with me. And you're not gonna take a forever type deal. But that was my concern at the time. And so that's why she was there for a couple more weeks, which is the time that she was probably referencing.
So are you saying that your ex-wife, your children, and you went to Peru together?
So, well, because the plan was that I wasn't going to go at first, so she just got the three. So then I had to get a ticket myself, so I didn't really go until the next day. So I got to the next day and got picked up and went to her house. But then, yes, we were all there together. Her family still didn't know that we were separating. So we were all there together. And then I left with the children. I can't remember the dates exactly, but you know, I left with the children, and then she was there for another 2 or 3 weeks as originally planned.
The telephone call that she references, was that when you still were in Peru with her and the children, or after you were back in the United States?
It's when the children and I had already returned, but honestly, that conversation, I remember we had it. It was in our bedroom at the time, or whatever. It was in person. Like it wasn't. I don't know. I don't know her memory, but my memory. I remember the conversation very well about, you know, she thought that I was going to hurt myself or whatever. And she wasn't even in Peru. She was actually in our bedroom. We're in our bedroom.
Okay.
So I remember being on the side of the bed, and yes, I was crying. I was upset. You know, I was like, geez, you know, like, and so I was upset. But we were both here.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions, by the chief.
Tell me a little more about how you left your job as a teacher. I think you said 17 years?
Yeah, 17 years.
And you said you resigned.
That's right.
To me, frankly, it sounds like you were forced to resign. Is that what happened?
Forced to resign? No, I don't think so.
Could you have stayed?
Yes.
Doesn't sound that way. So you had 17 years there?
I did.
When do you get a pension?
So I don't know. Your vest is the word. Vested after 20. But honestly, I felt it more. So the thing is this. Like I said, I fight for my children, my students.
I got it. For whatever reason, I just want to make sure. It sounds to me as if you were either fired or forced to resign.
No.
Because the answer you gave is very common. It's
yeah.
I resigned because they let me resign. That's a truthful statement.
Yes.
But it sounds like you were fired. And the reason I'm asking is because of the allegations you were off the rails and everything from the principal, it seems that it led to your departure.
Yeah, no, not at all. There was no force at all. Matter of fact, the assistant superintendent, you know, came in and said, hey, just, he came to the school and said, hey, are you sure this is what you want to do? Because if so, then I'll put it in. And I was like, yeah, you know, I have this. Well, like I said, the factors that led to it was I didn't like the way school was going, and I would have been happy to keep on fighting on that front. But then on top of it, I was also trying to fight for civil rights, because since we had the 50-50, my position is, hey, you take care of the kids in your time, I'll take care of the kids in my time. So now the campaign I'm doing right now is also now doing like government stuff. And I just couldn't, you know, be a dad, be a teacher, because like I'm a very dedicated teacher, and be a lawyer to go through this and also fight, you know, for change in the government all at the same time. I had to let something go.
You gave up a pension by 3 years.
It seems
that you were having, it's not just things were going great, you were having issues at school. You had attendance problems, teacher or someone thought you were off the rails, the principal. What would the principal tell Middletown PD if after this testimony they went and tried to confirm your story?
I'm not sure. The only thing they could say, so going through the leadership program, I know because I observe teachers, you know, that's going through the leadership program. And one thing that
I'm sorry, can you say that again? You go through a what?
I went through a leadership program.
Oh, leadership.
Yes,
got
I had my own 92 to be an administrator.
Okay, got it.
And so basically, one thing that we're told when we're doing observations is your observation should be concrete information. This is what I saw, right? And nothing no speculation,
But that's great. But I'm really, you're kind of dancing around the question. I'm saying, what would the principal say? Would the principal say he had to leave? Or he was going to get fired?
No.
If they went back.
Definitely
and
asked,
not.
If you're
under oath.
Oh, yeah. No. So, I promise you there's no way, like, no.
So you left on, you truly resigned on your own wishes. You could have stayed.
No doubt. They would have had no leg to stand on because I didn't do anything.
Well, but if you left, they didn't have to have a leg to stand on.
That's what I'm saying. But you're asking me if I was going to be pushed out. There would have been no way for them to do that.
based on his testimony, it sounds like they were working that way toward, you know, off the rail. Those are pretty serious things for an employer to start saying about an employee.
Well, there's no indication that was going to happen or that that could have happened, because like I said, it's not like, you know, I didn't hit children. I wasn't yelling or anything. Matter of fact, not to go into whatever.
Yeah, you don't have to. You didn't really.
But there was just no reason for them to ever question my professionalism. I'm surprised.
Well, clearly they did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm surprised. You know, I'm very surprised that she did. I'm quite frankly disheartened, because she and I, you know, although we didn't see eye to eye, I thought we had a decent relationship. But yeah.
Other questions by the board?
I'm curious about your testimony about having a handgun at other facility locked up in another state. Mm-hmm. Do you have a permit in another state?
Maine's is open carry.
And how do you maintain a gun? Do you own property in Maine?
No, I don't own property. I have a friend up there, and I have a lockbox. So I have what the person had said before. There's a case that comes with, you know, a Glock, whatever. I have a different box. It's a lock box. It's a safe, and I have it in there, and I have my ammo in another safe.
I understand. Okay.
Did you ever talk to the principal about her statement she made about you?
I was already gone by that time, so I didn't feel like, honestly, I've thought about it once in a while just to go back, but I just didn't feel it was appropriate because, you know, that was the way she felt, and I don't know. Like I said, I was very disappointed because I was disheartened is what it was, you know. I was disheartened.
In your testimony, she never asked you to resign.
No.
That's not your testimony, or no, she didn't ask.
No, she didn't ask me to resign. Matter of fact, again, she wasn't even in the school. She wasn't in the school very often. Like I said, she had personal issues to take care of. She's missed quite a bit of time to be with her family.
Sorry to jump in. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, in your divorce case, there was a contempt citation issued towards the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And a minimus was issued. Mm-hmm. What was going on there?
So basically, I had left teaching to pursue this campaign. And so my mom was helping me out, you know, with like rent and everything like that. And so basically I didn't have any income, so I couldn't pay that client.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went to court, you know, they told me, you know, get a lawyer. And so I ended up getting a lawyer, which didn't quite, I mean, I still have him, and I'm hoping he can help me. But when we were there, it was really, really quick. And they basically said, you know, do you have, you know, I have what's in my retirement account, and I have a car, which has equity in it. So they said, hey, you had, you know, and so my thing was, is I couldn't get rid of my car because I had to work, and when I did find a job, and then I wasn't going to touch my retirement because I thought I would need that. And so when they said, well, do you have a suggestion about how to pay it? I said, yeah, I can give her, you know, $500 within the next 3 months, and then I'm going to be finding a job within the next month was my idea, which is what I actually did. Actually, I found a job within a month to start paying her again. And but at that time, when he said, could you pay? And I said, well, $500, so not enough, go to jail. I was like, wow. I was like, and my lawyer just sat there. He's only been practicing for 3 years. And he just didn't say anything, which was...
So you didn't have any money in your bank account?
No.
And they issued a minimus?
Well, because of...
What was the purge amount? What did you have to pay to get out?
Like $7,000.
Did you pay it?
Yes, I got a loan.
It's just strange for a judge to issue a minimus if you don't have money.
Yeah, well, his thing was, I had my, this is what I'm saying, that was frustrating. So I had my retirement account, and I had my car, which was worth, oh, and he asked me about my credit card, too, if I had credit card, you know, availability. I was like, this is ridiculous. And which is why I have this campaign, because I want to fight for it to make these things right, because there's a lot of power that's given to the judges. It's amazing.
And was this was relative to child support or the alimony?
Well, both, because I couldn't pay either.
Other questions by the board? Do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Okay, you may make a closing statement.
Okay. So I will say this, just to reference, that wasn't part of my closing statement, but I am, you know, back on track. You know, I'm paying her now. as much as I can under the job that I have. I got an appeal going. We're trying to open that. I have this campaign going because I'm trying to, you know, fight this the right way, because that's the way we as adults do it, right? I've been a caring adult in the lives of my students and the lives of my children. I still have some time with them to help them grow up to be even better human beings, because they're really awesome. If you met them, you'd love them. And quite frankly, although I do appreciate, you know, the caution that Middletown Police Department had at the beginning, because let's face it, we don't want guns in the hands of the wrong people, so okay, that's fine. But now, you know, it's been like 3 years, and there's no evidence that anything is funky or anything like that, because I'm not a violent person. So it's just time now to go forward and issue the permit that, you know, that I have not shown that I'm unworthy of. And I'll also reiterate, because we talked about it before, a friend of mine, I didn't even think about this to tell you the truth, but if you read the letter of recommendation, she was actually the one that came up with, well, if you were truly emotionally unstable, wouldn't she then fight harder to keep her kids away from you? I was like, that's kind of true. I wish I had thought about that. And so there are just a lot of things that just, you know, don't quite jive right there, and it's just a lack of evidence I have.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sergeant, would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes. In many investigations, it's not one simple piece of evidence or piece of information that's used. It's generally the totality of circumstance, looking at the entire picture. So when speaking with an appellant's ex-wife, giving that the entire weight of the case might seem a little odd. They might be disgruntled. They might be upset with that individual or one employer. In this case, it was the appellant's ex-wife as well as the employer who both brought concerns, and they were not small concerns. They were serious concerns, off the rails. We'll be reading about this in the paper, extremely worried. Those are things that seem to, they seem serious concerns, and they're coming from different and unrelated sources. Along with that, there were things that were brought up today. Obviously, there was the financial issues with the divorce, the resignation with 17 years, 3 years prior to being vested in a pension, when there was financial concerns during the divorce, and when there are still motions being made as of January of this year, as far as adjusting the amount of the payments. All of those things taken together seem to speak to the suitability of the appellant, and that is why it was the decision of the Middletown Police Department to deny.
Thank you, Sergeant. Comments by the board? I guess my one comment is, a lot of things that are up in the air with this. If the principal and the ex-wife had such serious concerns, they really should be here, because we're asking the appellant to speculate why they would say that. And simple, we could have asked them. So that would have been helpful. So no other comments?
No, just that I agree. It's always a stronger case with the witnesses rather than going on the reports. Ex-wife might have been difficult to get. The principal, if she's still, he or she is still working there, it might have been easy. So something to consider in the future.
Okay. Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Ms. Johnson.
Appellant.
Attorney Iaconis.
Issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad.
For the appellant, what's persuasive to me is if there were ongoing concerns about the appellant's mental stability, neither the court nor his ex-wife would be comfortable with us having children for essentially 3 out of 7 days of the week. So for the appellant.
And chair votes appellant. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.